How many of you remember what T stood for? What? All right, your students are learning L. Limit Atonement. And I. All right, and P. All right. And basically what we believe, that most of us in the church, we believe that we are sub-lapsarians. Remember, there's super-lapsarians, infra-lapsarians, and sub-lapsarians. All right? And that's all different grades of Calvinists. The super-lapsarians believe in all five of those things. They believe in the limited atonement, irresistible grace. The infra-lapsarians basically leave out the limited atonement, and then the sub-lapsarians believe in total hereditary depravity and preservation of the saints and unconditional election, basically. All right? So we covered that just briefly again. And if you want that lesson from last week, you can get that one also on tape or CD. Or on video, even. All right. Number two. We studied last week the contrasting characteristics of God and man, established for the need for an atonement. And then number two, what was the original motive of the atonement? John 3:16. Remember that. What was the original motive of the atonement? And there's such beautiful love shown in this lesson that it overcomes me. You know, Brother Lee Kustra, he'll probably be here in a little bit. He called me last Sunday afternoon after I taught this lesson. He said, "Man, that's one of the best 200 I ever heard in my life." He's got an album that he keeps the best 200 sermons they ever heard in his life. He said, "That was one of the best." He said, "I want to get it." And then we started talking about the atonement and how it shows forth the love of God. Someone quote for me or read for me John 3:16. So the purpose and the real motive behind the atonement was what?
Love.
Now what about it overcomes me sometimes almost thinking about the love of God. But we'll never understand the love of God on this earth. It's just absolutely impossible. But God wanted to share the universe with you people. Did you know that? God wants to share the universe with you. For God so loved what? The cosmos, that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus died not only for mankind, but to buy back the whole physical universe. Out of hoc, that man had hawked it. Sold it off on the slave block. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the only way that the atonement can take place is that God had to become flesh. He had to become flesh in space and time. And remember that. I mean, I've told you that 1,000 times. But think about it. God had to become flesh to be related to us, to be able to redeem us back. And he had to do it here on earth in space and time. God had to somehow he lives in eternity, doesn't he? Where there is no space and time, basically. He lives outside the realm of time. But somehow he had to enter time and space in the person of Jesus Christ to redeem us. Buy us off of the block, off of the auction block that Satan had put us on. Number three, when was the atonement plan? 1 Peter 1:18 through 20. Brother Bill, have you got that one yet? I knew you did it.
Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in his last times in you.
All right. We weren't redeemed with silver and gold. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And how long ago was this planned? Before anything else was ever created. Before the blueprints were drawn up. That's what it's talking about.
Is that cosmos again?
Yeah, before the foundation of the world, of the universe, before the foundation of the order. What was the first order of beings that God created, as far as we can tell?
Angels.
Angels and spirits. What was the next thing he did?
Heaven.
Then he created the heavens and the earth. I had a guy come on the radio the other night, and he hadn't talked to me for 6 years on the radio, and he came on, I was teaching. And he came out there and he said, I talked with you. He said, I am a Jewish Christian. And he said, 6 years ago, I was talking to me, and you were explaining to me Genesis 1 and 1. This guy knows German, Russian, Spanish, Hebrew, and English, and just God's languages. He's a linguist. And I explained his native language to him. The Hebrew, because he's Hebrew. I said, in beginnings, God created the heavens, the Hashemayim, with Haaretz, Yeh Haaretz, that is. And the earth, the Hashemayim, the uplifted waters. And he came on, and he said, you're the one telling me what Hashemayim means. And I said, yeah, I'm the one. The uplifted waters, the heavens and the earth. God created all of the everything that you see and everything you don't see. You know that God created the space to put everything in. Think about it for just a moment. There wasn't any place to put it. If you want to go buy new furniture, you've got to have some place to put it, don't you? You've got to have a house. And you got to buy the furniture according to the plan of the house, or else you're going to end up with a mess. You might have a 5x10 room and buy 4 bedrooms house worth of furniture, and you can't get it in there unless you stack it on top of there. I was listening to a woman that became a missionary to Afghanistan. She had gone over there. And the United States was going to go in there and they were going to rebuild them homes and stuff in the United Nations and everything. And she couldn't get an honest answer from these people. They went in there and they said, I had a 10-room house here with a bathroom and every room. She said, all they saw when they saw me come there was dollar signs. And she said, it took a long time for me to get through to these people and I'm trying to help them, but quit lying to me. We know you didn't have a 10-bedroom house here. Or a 10-room house with a bathroom in every room. We know that didn't happen. What did you have and what do you need? That's what we want to figure out. Well, when God created the universe, first of all, he created the space in which to put it. Just think about that for the rest of your life. Just think about these little incidentals for the rest of your life. And then he created and he furnished the universe. And he furnished the universe in a way that we cannot even understand at this time because we are not able to see everything that's here. How many of you have ever seen an angel? How about a spirit? Spirit. Well, we don't see those things. I mean, angels have appeared to mankind at different times and places, but we don't normally see this thing. How many of you have ever seen a radio wave? How many of you have ever heard a radio wave? You know it's there because you can detect it with a device that translates it to you. Everybody out there, all the way from little bitty tiny short radio waves, which we call microwaves, and UHF and VHF all the way to long wave. At one time, for us to communicate to submarines, they had to have real long wave. I mean, antennas were gigantic to be able to transmit and so they could pick it up in these submarines. It was real long wave stuff. Your car radios have two kinds of radio in them. They're opposites. One of them is below 160 meters. That's real long wave. That's your AM station. And the other one is VHF. That's around 2 meters. That's your FM. There's two kinds of radios in there, but it's able to detect. How much else is out there that we don't know how to even detect? Science and medicine has just begun to learn how to detect viruses and bugs and certain forms of life that are killing us. Roll the tumors, Brother Lee. We had a ball talking about this. There is so much out there that we can't even see. Now, what has God revealed to us? First of all, in this lesson, He's revealed to us the atonement. But it is His love that caused the reason. It is the purpose. It's the reason. The motive behind the atonement is love. Well, how did he propose to make the atonement? When was the atonement planned? Bill read 1 Peter 1:18 through 20. How about Revelation 13 and 8? Who's got that one? But him.
All who dwell on the earth will worship him, those names whose names have not been written in the book of life. I missed something here.
No. It's often what you think.
Yeah. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth.
Okay. What we needed to do was go back just a little bit further. What it's talking about is the Antichrist and the devil, and that everyone on the earth is worshiping him, except those that names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. From when? Before the foundation of the earth. Before the foundation. What is before the foundation of a building and everything? What is before the foundation? The blueprints. Before the blueprints were drawn, your salvation was already finalized in purpose. All right, how did God propose to make the atonement for the sins of mankind? 2 Corinthians 5 and 19. That is a beautiful, beautiful verse. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19. This one I want you to write down, underline it, put it in red. Whatever you want to do, but it's real, real important. It calls for references in John 1:1 and John 1:14, but again. Mm-hmm. All right, who's got that? who's has that? Young lady.
For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others.
All right. It's verse 19. This is a beautiful verse. Let me back up here just a little bit more.
Don't get me before. You're going to have me against the wall. That's fine.
2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19, the atonement. It says here, hosote. This means in that because God, and look at that little, are you looking at name in here? No?
No.
It's Amy. Third person singular, perfect indicative active verb. All right? In that God kept on being, never ceased to be. That's the term right there. It says was, is your translation, but that just doesn't get it. It kept on being, continued to be. Always. In John 1:1 it says, in beginning kept on being the Word, and the Word there is Jehovah. In beginning kept on being the God, the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part. Are the Word kept on being an inseparable part of God Himself? It says, and the Word kept on being God. I know it says was in English. the translation, but that doesn't get it, because the tense of the verb is a continuous action that never ceases.
Imperfect indicative acting. Third person singular imperfect indicative acting to be an masculine. Also because of the noun that it goes with it. He continued to be forever. He never ceased being God. Jesus never ceased being God. When he came to this earth, he was the God of heaven, and the God of heaven became related to mankind to buy you out of the slavery of sin. Perfection. It cross-references that to John 1:1, because it's very important. All right. He kept on being in Christ, in the world, reconciling to himself. And then it says, not putting down on account to them their trespasses of them. And it, placing in us the word of the reconciliation. Holy grace. For 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19. This circle that verse or something. That's beautiful. God kept on being in Christ. He kept on being in Christ. Brother Lee and I were talking Sunday afternoon. Remember that, brother?
Tell us just a little. Can you remind me just a little bit of what we talked about? You remember what we talked about? How that God in the Spirit suffered?
Mm-hmm. In the darkness.
Yeah.
And John Calvin said without if Jesus just dying, it wouldn't have done anything for man, but in the Spirit.
Christ suffered in the Spirit. The Spirit of God suffered on the cross of Calvary. Who suffered on the cross of Calvary? Who was it? Who was that? God was on the cross of Calvary. You'll never find the Holy Spirit or the Father or the Son doing anything separate from each other. Really. In all reality. Everything that one of them did was in absolute harmony with the others. The triune God. So on the cross of Calvary, what happened? Jesus tasted death for us. The word death there is thanatos. Now try to understand that. Thanatos means separation. When Christ was dying on the cross of Calvary, the person, the body that God had indwelt became sin for us. The penalty of it. We will never understand that in this life, I know. God, every person, every child molester, every robber, every killer, every criminal that ever lived, the price of their redemption was placed upon him, and he paid for it. There. We've talked about living in tumbling for a long believe living in tumbling. Christ died for the sins of all mankind. Not all of it is efficacious to him, not until you believe, until you repent. But he paid for all of it. 1 John 2:2 is where we're going to go. Even Calvin says that Christ died for the sins of all mankind. Brother,
Christ became legally guilty for all of our sins, and God's wrath was completely fulfilled for it on sin, so that God has no ammunition for us that are in Christ Jesus, because he paid it all.
Mm-hmm.
Every debt.
We don't owe any debt for it, because Christ paid for it all. There's no payment to be made left. We talked about Arminianism and Calvinism on the other hand last week. Armenians believe that Christ only died for the original sin. And that when you're baptized, the original sin is washed away, but then you have to, from that point of time on, that you have to live sinlessly then to get to heaven. And there's all different shades of that. Okay? Christ died for your sins. When you accept Christ as that payment, when you repent of your sins and call upon God for mercy, guess what? they're no longer guilty from there to the end of your life, period. It's paid for. That's how much God loves you. That's the atonement. That's the real atonement. It ought to just melt us as we look at it. It ought to just make us shudder what Christ went through on the cross of Calvary.
Jim, is there anything about the word justified, to be declared righteous, that indicates once for all justification? Or that it's
a well, it says he was once for all hapax. Hapax means once for all he made the offering. One time. There is no need for another offering. When he died on the cross of Calvary, and that wasn't enough either, was it? He died on the cross, but that didn't complete the payment, did it? What completed the atonement?
The resurrection.
He had to be raised. There are many people out there in Christendom. I won't say in Christianity or Christian circles, but in Christendom, that believe Christ died, but he never rose. I believe what Brother Phil and Brother Roger went to school. They didn't believe in the resurrection, did they? The teachers didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, people, you're dead in your sins. You still have them. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was absolutely necessary. We studied that lesson already a couple of weeks ago. Let's go on a little bit further now. 2 Corinthians and how did God propose to make the atonement for the sins? 1 John 2:2. Remember what Calvin said about this comment. I'll read it to you again and re-emphasize for some of you who weren't here. 1 John 2:2. You got that, Brother Joe?
And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world.
All right. Now that just does away with an atonement, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That ought to just absolutely forget that business. It wasn't limited. All right, this is what Calvin said. Christ suffered for the sins of the whole world in the goodness of God, is offered unto all men without distinction, his blood being shed not for a part of the world only, but for the whole human race, for although in the world nothing is found worthy of favor of God, yet he holds out the propitiation to the whole world, since without exception he summons all to the faith of Christ, which is nothing else than the door unto hope. All mankind. If Charles Manson would repent of his sin and call upon God for mercy, God could save him. Because he already made the atonement for what he did. The atonement has already been made. That clears up that in 1 John 2:2. All right, who's got Ephesians 1:6? And here's another mind-boggling. The book of Ephesians, God is just, that book is heavenly. That book is such a high book. The medium of that book is so high. By the way, it's not the book of Ephesians. I don't want to shock you, but it's not the book of Ephesians. It is a book that was written and copied much at Ephesus. If you'll look in the original language there, in your columns in your Bible, where it says in Ephesus, wasn't there. This is a circular, this is a general epistle to all churches. A general epistle to all churches. Later on it was called the Ephesian letter. But it is a general epistle to all the churches, not to Ephesus. All right, to all of us, and even to today. Who's got that? You got that, Brother John?
Actually, I'm in Genesis.
Oh, okay. All right, who's got this? Have you got that one?
To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved.
To the praise of the glory of his grace. Look at that. Read verse 5 for me.
He predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ Jesus to himself, according to the kind intention of his will.
All right. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted to the made us accepted. How did he make us accepted?
I take away what we're going to
say. By the atonement. But what does it say at the end of that verse? He predestined us. He placed us as sons, as heirs, by the way. That's not just sons there. That means philothesia. That is heirs. We become a firstborn son. We're the best. We are the firstborn. We are the heir of God. All right? We are the heir of God. And then it says, via Jesus Christus, by the agency of Christ Jesus. Everything is by the agency of, by the work of Christ. And then what is the last thing it says in verse 6? He showed mercy upon us in the one having been loved. Who is the one having been loved? Jesus Christ again. Do you think God is loving Son? But He loved us so much that His Son became sin for us. I remember a guy one time going out with his son and a friend of his out in the ocean fishing. And a storm came up, and their boat stopped. And they didn't have any life preservers. They weren't going out there for a long time. They were going out there anyway. His son was there. His son was safe. And he knew that. But the boy, the visitor that was with him, was lost. He was lost. If he would die, he would go to hell. And the father chose not to save his son, but to save the other boy, because he knew that if he died, he'd be going to go to hell. This is a Christian man. And boy, what a decision to make. Just think about that. Could you do that? God did. This man went to church for many years, and he got up and he preached this story. He got up and he told a story about how that he had given his son for this other man's life, and he didn't know whatever happened to him. Finally, one day he preached in the church, and that boy came up, and he was a preacher. And he didn't say. He said, "I'm the boy." He didn't know him anymore. He'd wrong and gone on the way, but he had given his life for that boy's life. And God had saved that boy and put him in the ministry of God. Well, God did that for us. If you can even imagine that. God loved you so much that His Son suffered for you. That's what it says right here. When and how was the atonement first made known to man? Genesis 3 and verse 15. You're right there, aren't you, buddy guy?
And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them.
This is a lot of ammunition right there in those few verses. God is he's cursing mankind. He's cursing the animal kingdom and everything. You know, when Adam sinned, it entailed the whole universe as we see it. And then, and since man was the administrator of God's kingdom, everything that he was over was affected by his sin. Think about it. If you're the administrator of a hospital, anything goes wrong in that hospital, guess what? It goes right back to you, doesn't it? Because you're supposed to be watching over everything. If you're the administrator over an office, and you allow something to go wrong in that office, guess whose fault it is? The administrator's office. Or the administrator's fault of that office. It goes all the way up. All the way to the President of the United States. In all reality.
When God places teachers over classes, it's my fault if you and you fail. When we have pastors in church, you know whose fault it is if the church doesn't get fed, or if they get fed, if they get all the blessings and all of the responsibility goes to the pastors, don't they? That's a tremendous responsibility. Well, when Adam was on this earth, guess who was responsible for everything? Adam, because God had placed him there. What a responsibility. And he had looked at this world, and he had lived in this world, and he named every animal, and I believe God showed him even the small microbiology. Why? And the stars, and everything that he had taught him, all these things. And then he wasn't happy. God made animals to be his friends and his fellowship them. We still see degrees of that in dogs and cats and things today. We have a close relationship. In the original, the lions and the snakes and the tigers and the camels and everybody, we were all friends. They didn't need each other, and everybody was happy. Well, it says man wasn't happy. So God put him to sleep, and he took from his sides, plural, not a rib, but he's from his sides, plural, and he made woman. That reminded me of a story I heard the other day. It wasn't true, but it was a funny one. God made Adam, and Adam, God gave him a choice. He says, I can create for you, from you, a woman. And she will cook for you, and she will clean for you, and she will prepare your meals, and she will do all of these things. And everything. I mean, she'll just take care of you if you want. He said, well, what's this going to cost me? And he said, the arm and the leg and everything. I'm just going to cost you a lot. He said, what can I get for a rib? Well, there was more than a rib involved. It was from his side he took a family man from man and made woman. He took from Ish, he took Isha. The name Ish in Hebrew is the name for man. Isha means out of man. The word woman in English means out of man also. Well, he put them together, and still man was the administrator of the kingdom, and he was supposed to watch over his wife and keep her out of trouble and keep trouble out of the garden. Because that was God's paradise. You know, man lived in heaven at that time. Paradise was the garden. He was the garden. That's where paradise was. Beautiful. And they had eternal life, by the way. All they had to do was not fool around with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge would have been added to them had they not partaken of it. But there were other things that were going to be added there in that knowledge if they took from that tree. Well, he partook of it. And that's when we go back in Genesis 3 and verse 15. And then the curse was. Who instigated the situation? Satan. Satan was borrowing a body at that time, wasn't he? What body was he borrowing? Nahash. That sound neat? Nahash. That's the name of the serpent in Hebrew, Nahash. The deceiving one. The deceiving one. He borrowed the body of that snake and talked to the woman. Evidently, animals were communicating at that time, so there wasn't any big surprise to the woman when the snake was talking to her. All right? She didn't jump and run off. And he talked to her, and he told her, he started quoting scripture and telling her that God was lying to her. And then it says she partook of the tree. of the fruit. Because it was going to make her smart, it was going to taste good, and it was pretty.
Isn't that the same thing? We got little goodies up here. They look good, and I don't know if they'll make you wise or not, but they'll taste good if you eat them. Well, that's what she saw. And then God placed a curse upon mankind and womankind. He placed a curse upon Satan, didn't he? And that deal, if he's, are you still there, Brother John?
Where am I? I'm in Romans.
Okay, well, we...
Yeah. I can get back to it.
Okay. Genesis 3. Read that 3:15 to me again.
All right. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel.
Okay, in the original language, he says, I will put active hatred between your seed. Who's he talking to? Satan. Your seed. Who's the seed of Satan? The Antichrist that's going to come. All of his children on this earth, by the way, all of those that would be gotten of Satan on this earth and go to hell, there's going to be active hatred between lost mankind and what? Saved man all through history. If you don't believe in that, just study history. Just a little bit. I mean, you won't... It's going to absolutely amaze you. You study that if you don't believe that there's active hatred between the lost and the saved in the history of mankind. He said, I will put active hatred between your seed and her seed. Who was her seed?
Jesus Christ.
The Savior. The Messiah. And he said, he will bruise you as to the head, a deadly blow. But you shall bruise him as to the heel. That's a crippling, painful blow. How many of you ever hurt your heel? Well, that hurts. You can't walk anymore when you hurt your heel. And then he said, and he named his wife what? Yvonne. What does that mean? The mother of all living. Do you think he believed in the promise of the Messiah? She had just become the mother of all dying, hadn't she? They would die, they'd begin the process of dying, and all her children would die. But this woman is going to be the mother of all living. And then in the book of Galatians it says that in this one seed, not plural, but in this seed, God made a promise to Abraham way back here, didn't he? In your seed shall all nations be blessed. What seed was he talking about? The same seed back here in the book of Genesis. Seed, plural, not seeds, but seed. That was our Messiah. Our atonement. Our Messiah, our atonement.
Seriously, he's in our field. That means he's on the cross.
Yes.
Okay.
Christ, God, suffered a crippling blow on the cross of Calvary. He bruised him as to the heel. He wouldn't stay dead. But you know what? It says that he shall bruise you as to the head. Over here in the lake of fire on this chart, you study the path of Satan. By the way, you see this little crooked, squiggly blue line here. Some of you have this little chart. I'll get these to you because we study this back to this all the time. Studying history all the way down here. Job 1 and 7, Ephesians 2 and 2, Revelation 12, 7 through 10, all the way down here, and Revelation 20, 7 through 9, and then Revelation 20 and verse 10. We see the whole history of Satan. Satan will be dealt a death-dealing blow because he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death. The second death. Let's go on a little bit further. How is God's justice established in the atonement? Romans 3 and 20. Have you got that, Brother John?
Mm-hmm.
Romans 3:20-26.
Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus.
Boy, what? You could preach a week on those verses.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much in there. Tremendous. He passed over our sins. In Israel, in the Passover, remember that? That the Passover had to do with the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. They were supposed to remember that in their families for all generations of Israel. Israel took a lamb into their house. Each family had to have a sacrifice. They took a lamb, and they watched over this lamb. It had to be without spot or blemish. And like 2 weeks before it was sacrificed, it was taken into their home, and their children played with it. They fed it. They made sure it didn't get blemished in any way. And then, on the day of the Passover feast, all the father of the house took, and everybody confessed their sins to him. He was the priest of the family. And he took his hands and laid on his hands on the head of that sheep. By the way, the sheep didn't do anything wrong. And they confessed they transferred their sins from them to the sheep. And then they killed the sheep. This little sheep that didn't do anything wrong. It was innocent. That's the way Christ was on the cross of Calvary. And they took the blood of that sheep and they took and they put it on the, like the door, when you came in here, the door post around that. They would take and they would put blood on the right hand side, on the left hand side, and above. So that everybody in that house was covered. Their sins were paid for. And then it says there the first time in Exodus, there in Egypt, who passed over Egypt that night?
Yes, sir, I did.
God did. Jehovah did. It wasn't the death angel, people. I don't care how many times you hear that. It wasn't the death angel. It is Jehovah. He passed over Egypt, and the presence of Jehovah, those that were not covered by the blood, by innocent blood, died. What was the last plague, by the way, in Egypt? What?
The first son?
The oldest son.
Well, the oldest son, that was the plague of the firstborn. That's what happened right then. But what was the one before that? What was the plague?
The darkness.
The plague of darkness. Now look at the cross of Calvary for a minute. Go back to that now. We have the innocent lamb up nailed to a cross and he didn't do anything. From 12 o'clock noon till 3 o'clock in the afternoon is the highest point of the sun, isn't it? What happened? It was pitch is black. The whole world was black. You know why?
Judgment.
Who was the judgment placed upon?
Jesus.
You know something? It was so dark that they couldn't even see his talking. How he became sin for us. It was so ugly.
righteous of God through faith in Jesus Christ, O Lord, as we believe the Virgin. That tells me that even Moses, the greatest prophet, Paul, the disciples were no more saved than when praising God came to me.
We're all equal that way.
It tells the atonement right there was for all of
us. Yes, the complete total. And the righteousness, how is righteousness imputed to you? How is righteousness justified to you? Christ died for our sins. How is the righteousness imputed? By the resurrection. We are justified by His resurrection. It takes both. All right. Let's go. We already went to 1 Corinthians 5. How about Galatians 3:13? Galatians 3:13 3:13-16. Galatians chapter 3, 13-16. We've got that. Brother John, do you have that?
Yes, sir. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations, even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. 3:16?
Yes.
Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ.
That's exactly what we were talking about in the promise of God made that. We are grafted into the promises of Abraham because we have believed in the Messiah of Israel. Israel did not believe in the Messiah that crucified him. They knew who he was, but they crucified him. There was no doubt who the Messiah was. He had all the credentials. They chased him around for 3.5 years trying to kill him, hadn't they? And they, above the Roman government, Pontius Pilate declared him innocent 5 times. He declared him innocent 5 times. I find no fault in him, and what did he finally do? Wash his hands to say, this government has no part of what you people are doing. And what did Israel say? Let his blood be upon us, and not only that, but our children. Has it been?
Yeah.
It's been. All right, number 7. How are God's love and mercy established in the atonement? John 3:16, Romans 5:6-10, which we've covered in this already. God's love and mercy. Through God's love and His mercy, we have the atonement. Without it, God became flesh. That's how the mercy got to us. God came down to you. You don't go up to God. The Pharisees were standing on the corners and their fine dress with their scrolls and the words of God written on their arms and on their forehead and everything, and they were so far away from God because they were walking into the throne of God saying, here I am. Look at me. You can't get there without repentance and confession. You have to know who you are. When a person goes down the aisle and asks the Lord to forgive them of their sins, they have to know who they are. You're undone before God. You don't meet the righteousness of God. And by whom do we receive the atonement? Romans 5:10. By the reconciliation of God's Son. Reconciliation. What is the basic element of the atonement furnished by Jesus Christ? Romans 3:25-26, and Isaiah 53:11. God publicly displayed His Son, the guilt offering. God publicly displayed himself. John 1:14. And the Word flesh became, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as the glory of the only begotten God that ever came to this earth. Are they saying that out there?
Yeah.
God displayed it openly. It was public. God's Son came. All the messianic credentials that God had given down in Isaiah and in Psalms and, well, all of the Old Testament. The law of the kinsman redeemer. When God became flesh to redeem us back. What are the wages of sin? Thanatos and necros. Thanatos is separation from God, and necros is what? Dead bodies. All of us are going to die. We all have the sentence of death. You know, I experienced about a year ago, almost now, the sentence of death. The doctor told me I had cancer. He said, if you don't do something about it, it's going to kill you. Well, I was already dying before that. But then that just kind of reaffirms, you know, you're going to kick the bucket pretty soon. Not a lot sooner than what you thought you would. All of us have the sentence of death, and if we're all dying, we grow up, and I mean, I remember when I could jump a 5-foot fence. Never slow down. You just run and go, and Brother Hernando, Brother Joe, you went wood cutting with me 20 years ago. Well, I could cut wood just like lightning. I was strong back then. Now I can't even hardly lift the chainsaw. I couldn't lift as tall as I was lifting back then, I guarantee you. You fade away. We're in the process of fading. But you know what? God in this time doesn't make any provision for the flesh. We're going to die. But we don't have to have that thanatos, that spiritual separation from God, because we will be with Him forever, because the price has been paid. The price has been paid. Could God have covered man's sins without the payment being made? Hebrews 9:22. It says there, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There is no remission of sins. There is no payment. That's what all the Old Testament laws told us. I remember when I first started reading the Bible, I started out with Genesis, and I read, and I felt like I was indicted. You read that Old Testament, man, there isn't much grace and glory and mercy in that thing. I felt like I was just absolutely a terrible sinner. I was just about to give up this religion business and just, well, I'm just going to, I felt a lot worse. I'd be a lot better before I read the Bible than I did now. Then I got over in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's some good news over there. If Jesus Christ paid for all those sins that I had committed according to the knowledge that I found in the Old Testament. Could man have atoned for his own sin without being consumed? No way. You just come in the presence of God and see what happens. See, that's what happened there in Egypt when Jehovah passed over Egypt. Everybody died that wasn't covered by blood. Can a person receive the benefits of atonement unto himself today? By gift, freely given in Christ Jesus. That's how you do it. It's a gift. And Christ does it all. Next week we're going to study about the new birth. We're going to basically go and study the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Because there is where that is talked about. Thank you for your attention today. And Brother Greg, would you come up here?